Welcome everyone to the Cacao Podcast. It is an absolute delight today to be joined by Margaret Dykes. Hello, Margaret, and thank you for coming.
Hello, Miranda. Thank you for inviting me.
And Margaret, you received the BEM, as I remember it, for your work on fair trade. Is that correct?
I did, yes, some years ago now, but yes, I did.
You're somebody I think of as a fair trade hero. You have been
Thank
working
you.
with tradecraft for a long time. How did you first get involved with that?
It was down to my brother, actually. He was a tradecraft buyer, and he just sold locally in his village community, and to me. And he suddenly announced one day that he was going to go and work and live in Mozambique. And my first thoughts were, oh, that's a challenge. What about my fair trade goods? So a voice was ringing in my head, you could do that. You could cope doing that. So I did. I started a very, very small scale. I reckon I sold about £2,000 worth of goods a year. But slowly got into it, found I really enjoyed it. Tradecraft had various initiatives. Like people becoming kind of area rep, but they didn't use that term. I can't remember the term they use now. But that was good because that gave me an inroad into other churches to say, would you like to be a fair trade church? I can help you set this up. I can support your the person who wants to be a fair trader. So yeah, that's how it all started.
And what drew you to fair trade? What drew you to tradecraft?
Well, my brother and I, we were brought up in a household of justice and fairness, and tradecraft, fair trade, tick those boxes. It always seemed very unfair to me that some producers around the world, the more they sold, the less means to support their livelihoods they had, and that just is not fair. The more you sell, you should get make some more money to live on, and if it's reverse of that, that's not right.
And you had some opportunities, didn't you, to meet fair trade producers?
I did. We went on tradecraft with Saddle Skedaddle, I think they were, ran these fair trade trips, and we went to South America, and I met a coffee producer in Peru, and he had planted some coffee bushes in the jungle that was his land, created paths through it. So he didn't destroy the jungle, he didn't destroy the wildlife habitation there, but he planted his coffee plants, and that income from the coffee, which was bought by Cafe Direct and via a cooperative in his area, enabled the three generational family to live, the children to go to school. We met the children and provided an income for them. It was amazing. I understand why that coffee would be expensive because it was the trees, if you like, were few and far between, but it protected the environment. It wasn't like a vast plantation. And to me, that's worthwhile paying a bit more for your cup of coffee when you see it grown like that. So we went through the whole coffee process of planting a tree to sort of roasting the beans at the very end. And it was fun. It made me realize actually how much work is involved. And some coffee is just so cheap that does not tally in my mind. The logistics of that don't work without somebody suffering.
Yeah, there's a piece of work that I saw that said, if something is that cheap, somebody somewhere is paying.
Correct. Yes.
And
Yeah. Yeah.
it's a truth, isn't it?
It is. I used to do lots of talks in schools, and I would challenge the young students to tell me, how can a cotton t-shirt cost £5? Just work that out. The growing of the cotton, the harvesting of the cotton, the spinning of the cotton, the dyeing of the cotton, the making of the garment, the shipping of it over to the UK, let alone when it gets to the UK, the warehouse costs, the shop costs, electricity, paying the staff, all out of £5. Doesn't work.
No, it doesn't. I love your
Doesn't
example of the
work.
coffee too, Margaret, because It emphasizes something that I think people often don't understand about fair trade, which is that there's the economic side of it, the income, the premium for community development. There's the social development side of it, that money which enables people to send their children to school. But there's also the environmental side of it, which is such an important part of fair trade.
It is. And also, it's not just those children that were going to school because of this. Other children in the area would be able to go to school because the school would be open. Because there was this cooperative in the area bringing income into the area.
Absolutely.
So it's a real pebble in the pond, rippling out to a wider community.
And I saw that also in Ghana, where I met, on the one hand, a particular farmer who had been able to educate all of his daughters to be nurses with the fair trade money.
Wonderful.
But we also were conscious of the huge cooperatives like Coop Coco, which were building schools and building clinics so that children in the community could have the benefits that they needed.
And the roads to and from help everybody.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
One of the things that I've always enjoyed when we've worked together is that you have this passionate sense of justice and you have this breadth of experience and knowledge of fair trade. And you're also just a lot of fun. And you have a lot of fun with the work that you do on fair trade. What are some of the things that you've most enjoyed?
I've enjoyed meeting people. I've enjoyed the challenge of the sales, if you like, because it was always best to buy things in bulk, be it 10 bars of chocolate, or no, 15 they're coming out, don't they? 15 packs of chocolate as opposed to one or two, because the economics were better for me as a fair trader. But I had to make sure I sold it in time. So therefore, you had to meet people. You had to widen your social aspect. And I've met some amazing people. And it has to be fun. I'm a volunteer. If it's not fun, it's no point in doing it. It's got to be fun.
Absolutely. And
And yeah,
what have some of
sometimes,
the challenges been?
Some of the challenges have been some of the comments that you get. Some of them can be very hurtful, not nice. Why are you doing this? Are you buying your stuff from Calais? Why should we help these people overseas? What have they done for us? And they're very hurtful. But then you get some lovely comments of, oh, this is marvellous what you're doing. It makes sense. It's right. It's proper. Blah blah blah. But it's those the harder comments that go deeper somehow. That's my personality. I should just shrug them off. But they don't. They linger in, and I'm always working. How can I answer that better?
How do
Just
you
the.
respond when somebody makes a comment like, why should we help other people?
Because I try and answer it that we need these people. We need chocolate and coffee and tea and bananas and stuff. And why shouldn't we? Why shouldn't we pay for what it's worth? It's only right and proper that we should pay the going rate for what we consume. Why should we exploit people? And of course, of late, I've used it about the small boat crossings. If life wasn't so hard, pushing aside war zones, but sub-Saharan Africa with global warming is getting almost not exactly uninhabitable, but harder to grow crops and harder to live there. So of course people are going to look to Europe to for not just for a better way of life, for a way of life.
And what about Christians? When Christians say to you, why should we help other people? What's your response to that?
It tends to be, well, whoever we interact with, be that a sale, and we're very unlikely to meet the person whose bananas we're eating, but they're our neighbour because we've got that interaction. And Jesus said, love your neighbour. And that's fair trade, is loving your neighbour, making sure that they're getting a fair wage for their day's work. It's throughout the Bible, isn't it?
It is.
Even in the Old Testament.
It is indeed. How would you like Christians to pray and how would you like them to act?
I would like them to act by supporting their fair trader, because it's not easy. Things get out of date. You've got to be alert, you've got to be committed, and I think a good response to that from the congregations would be to support that person being the fair trader. And for the prayer for that is that you pray for those people who feel they can't afford, or not just feel, but can't afford the fair trade option.
Thank you, Margaret, and it's been an absolute delight to have you with us.